Say thank you and happy Father's Day to all you moms who've had to play dad and the role you've had to play. For all the men and young men, and if you did not receive the little gift we have for you in the back, please make sure you get one before you go. Any male of any age is welcome to it. But right now, would you stand with me and just raise your Bibles? Let's give God glory for His Word. And children are free to go to children's church. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is alive and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank You that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in Your righteousness. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. You know, before we go any further, I'm getting a real thing in my spirit right now that God is just still has something yet to do. So can we just take a moment and just be still? Feel like God has given somebody a word for us this morning, a prophetic word to edify the body. And if He has, would you just raise your hand and I will come to you. But let's just be still and just get into His presence. Yeah. I feel like God has really stirred something in someone for this body today. All right, we'll continue. It may come later, but I feel like God has definitely placed something for us this morning, for someone. Anyway, as Father's Day, what I feel led to share with you this morning is I want to talk about the blessing. Now, traditionally, the fatherly blessing comes from a male, and it's usually to the firstborn son or so forth, biblically speaking. But what we're going to talk about today is just the blessing itself, because the daughters require that same blessing in many ways. They require it, and we'll see why. See, there is power in the tongue. And the Bible says, in the tongue is life and death. You can speak life or you can speak death to somebody in your tongue with what you say. Genesis 49:26a says this, "The blessing of your father excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills." In other words, the blessing that comes from a father means more and has more impact on the life of a son or daughter than anything anyone can say to you. And I want you to just think about that for a second, and we'll get a little bit of deeper understanding about that. See, and it's, you said, usually comes from the father, but understand where it comes from. It comes from God. Last week, it was not a coincidence or an accident that I asked Bobby Hyde Sr. to come and pray over the Pace team as the priest of his home. Because even though they may not be his biological children, he is the one who's been called to be the priest of his home, to love his home, serve his home in a priestly way as Christ loves the church and served the church, dying for her. And in other words, blessing her with everlasting life. And then continuing that blessing with the impartation of His Holy Spirit and the things that the Holy Spirit leads us to do. But as priest of your home or head of your household, you have that very important role of blessing those within your household. You are their fathers or spiritual fathers. Because we also have to take into consideration our spiritual fathers and our spiritual mothers and our spiritual brothers and sisters who speak words of life to us. So the question is, why was a father's blessing so highly valued in the Old Testament? Well, we see that Abraham blessed his kids. Jacob not only blessed his kids, but blessed his grandkids as well. And that blessing meant everything to them. And we know that when Isaac was conned and blessed Jacob instead of Esau, the firstborn, which the blessing is usually reserved for, it was devastating for Esau. It was devastating because it meant so much. Because there's power in the tongue and the weight that it carried, because there's an anointing that comes with it that comes from God alone. See, the father's blessing or curse was believed to be a pronouncement from the one true God. So as priest of your home, you represent God to your family. So when you speak a blessing to those in your family, you are speaking as if it's coming from the heart of God. It's flowing out of you from God. See, we don't talk about these things in a lot of churches. Some denominations say, well, this is Old Testament, it doesn't work that way anymore, or some just don't believe in that from a spiritual aspect. But there is a power in the tongue that is made clear in Scripture. And what comes out of my mouth can lead somebody into their destiny or can tear somebody apart. And the power that comes from the priest of your home, as if God speaks through it. And this is why fathers or priests, I'm going to call you today, of your home, it is important you got your life right with the Lord. You have that intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father, so you know His heart, not just for you, but for your kids and for every single person in your household. It's important. If I don't know, if I'm not being intimate with my Father in heaven, how am I going to bless my wife? How am I going to speak words of life unto her? How am I going to encourage her the way her daddy in heaven wants me to? Pass that along. Now, as I'm saying and sharing all this, please, if you're feeling convicted, that's from the Holy Spirit. If you start having negative thoughts, beating yourself down, that's not from the Holy Spirit. That's from the devil himself. And rebuke those thoughts in the name of Jesus, because we're here to be built in the power and presence and the word and the love of God. Because everything to this point can and will be forgiven. And you start over right now. So do not let the enemy play games on your mind where you start beating yourself up with these thoughts that I failed, I didn't do this. That's a lie from the pit of hell to distract you from what God has for you from this point moving forward. So come against that in the name of Jesus right now and rebuke him, because you have authority over the enemy in your life in the name and power and presence and spirit of God. So you cast that spirit, you bind that spirit, and just tell him to shut up. Simple as that. Tell him to shut his mouth, because the Holy Spirit is speaking truth to you today. But that blessing is powerful. It is anointed, and it's important that every one of us is right with God. And I'll be the first to tell you how many times I've failed, because it's on me to make sure every day I wake up with the right intent, with the right heart, with a passion for the heart of God, not be slothful and looking for what's best, asking, Lord, how can I be a blessing to my family today? How can I pour out? How can I encourage and build? So, let's look at the blessing itself. There's three parts to the blessing. There's the purpose of the blessing, the element of the blessing. Well, first we know it speaks life. If you look at any of the Old Testament scripture, and some we'll get into in a minute, when Jacob blessed his sons, he blessed them with words of life. When God blesses his people, he speaks words of life, words that will carry them through. He speaks words that speak to their destiny. See, the gift we have for the guys on the back says man of God on it. And you know, I thought about that during worship. Because there was a time somebody would say that about me because I was a Christian. Or even at work, if I'm having a bad day at work and says, oh, he's a godly man or he's a man of God, man, that conviction hurts. And then that's when the enemy tries to attack my mind and says, you failed God. You're not a man of God. Well, you know what God says? He says, you're my son. And if you seek after me, we'll make everything right. Therefore, you can be and are a man of God because you're a man chasing my heart. So that little statement, whether you feel it or not, and especially if you don't feel it, you need to wear it and embrace it. Because this is words of life spoken to your destiny. The destiny God created you to have. He did not create you and I to fall on our faces. He did not create us, and I'm just for the men for a second, us to fail as fathers, to fail as husbands, to fail as sons. He did not create us to fail. He created us to rise up and be above and bless and minister. And he's already spoken his words of life over us. Now we just have to receive them, embrace them, believe them, and impart them, and carry them through. So the blessing, why is there a blessing? Because the absence of a blessing leaves the door open for a curse. Say that again. The absence of a blessing leaves the door open for a curse. If I'm not hearing words of affirmation from anybody, that leaves the door open for the weight of the negative words to be heavier than they should be. In marriage counseling, they say, for every one negative thing you say to your spouse, make sure you say at least 9 good things to balance it out. Because that's what you have to do. This is the power of the blessing. Because the blessing without it leaves a void that will be filled with negativity. And what we're calling this is the curse. See, no curse ever happens without a cause. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause shall not alight. There has to be a cause, and the cause comes with the absence of the blessing, and then an event happens to where there was not enough blessing or affirmation to overpower the enemy speaking those negative words in our heads or us beating ourselves down. Second thing, the absence of a blessing makes way for the curse to lay hold. See, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, as we said, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What does that mean? You ever heard of the term wallow in your sorrow or pity party? It's quicksand. When these negative thoughts, when these things that we start thinking about ourselves, because there was an absence of a blessing, they become like quicksand, like a whirlpool. They start getting heavier and heavier and sucking us down because they start playing like a broken record over and over and over again in our minds, making us feel worse and worse and doubting who we are and doubting what we are created to be. Because, see, words aren't easily taken back. A judge can say in court, strike those words from the testimony of the jury, but that's too late. It's already in the jury's head. You can say, I'm sorry, but those words were already in your head. But without the absence of a blessing leaves wide open for the weight of those words of the curse to be heavier on us and affect us. And we'll see a little bit more how it plays out. See, the cause for curses in a person's life may be due to the failure of a father to fulfill his responsibility to bless a child. Think about that. If you have not served, not in all cases, but if a father or a father figure or a spiritual father has not poured into you enough, that void is going to lead you to have to figure out who you are. And most of the time, when we figure out who we are, it's not going to look pretty. Because it's going to carry doubt and insecurity and fear. Think about it. Being called stupid in school. Being called a loser. Feeling like a failure. All those things will carry through. I'm ugly. You know, those kind of things. Without the absence of the blessing of you are a princess in the kingdom of God. I bless you with the crown that God has for you as his princess, as his daughter. I bless you as the son of God, a mighty warrior in his army. I mean, look at the blessing God gave Gideon before Gideon even stepped into it. He called him a mighty man of valor before he even did anything. He spoke a blessing over him to instill that faith and that courage and that confidence that God is with him to carry through what he needed to do. See, the father's blessing and goodwill were the biggest and greatest happiness, source of happiness that a child could desire. That was the most important thing, was to get the father's blessing or the fatherly figure's blessing from a child. Think of how it made you feel when your mom and dad said, "Thank you, great job, we're so proud of you. You're wonderful. You're growing to be such a good person." Imagine you as the father saying to your son and daughter, "I bless you with the gift of fatherhood, with the ability to be a better father than I could have ever been, to be the great father," and then saying to them, "You've turned into such a good father," or "You're such a good mother. I'm so proud of the man or woman you are becoming." Think about what that does, what it would have done to you as a person. In speaking blessings over another person, we activate the power of God. This comes from Frank Hammond, who's the author of the book, The Father's Blessing. So when you speak a blessing over someone, it activates them into what they're destined to do. It activates the power of God within them. Why? Because it builds faith. See, we're all about building faith. Why do we share testimonies in church of what God is doing in our life to help us overcome the things of this world? That's to build faith. When we speak blessing, we activate the power of God in a person's life. We open the door for God to move in a person's life to do things within them that they've never had done before. Imagine that process of activation at a young age. If we do it right from the beginning, what our sons and daughters would look like as they get older. Not that they still don't have the choice and the freedom to make their own choices and make the mistakes they make, but the foundation is laid for God to work in their lives in a whole new way. So the purpose of blessing, number two. Let's look at this. I'm going to look at the man and the woman, for example. What is the man's greatest need? Man's greatest need is not what, you know, the world wants to tell you. The man's greatest need is to be respected and appreciated. What's the man's greatest fear? To fail. Man's greatest need is to feel respected and appreciated. They want to feel like a man. Part of that is being the provider, the caretaker, the protector, all those things that we as guys naturally grow up feeling. And our greatest fear is failure. Nothing will destroy a man's psyche than the feeling of failure. I failed as a husband. I failed as a father. I failed in my workplace. I failed here. I failed there. I didn't do this. I didn't do that, right? The blessing counteracts that. The blessing helps to overcome that. The blessing encourages the person to step into their future, into their destiny, and knowing what your destiny is. See, again, this part of this is very prophetic in that the one giving the blessing needs to spend time with the Lord to know what they need to speak over their kids or those that they are blessing. Because you're not just speaking empty words. When I bless my wife, it's come because I spent time with the Lord and I'm speaking His heart to her. And when the Lord blesses us with children, as we pray over them, we're going to speak words that He puts on our heart that are from His heart over them, that are going to counteract those things. And this respect that man needs and be appreciated, this is what we tell women in marriage counseling. You want to get things right with your husband, make them feel respected. Disrespect is the biggest knife in a man's heart. Respect is a key thing to them. But see, part of this is they're always trying to get what they didn't get from their dad. And how we as guys sometimes define respect is, who am I? You know, it's about me, okay? Respect me, I didn't do it, it's mine, I know what I'm doing, let me do it. So we try to look for other ways. See, my grandfather and my father both were in the ministry. So there's a legacy of faith in our family. But my grandfather passed away when my dad was a teenager. Never really got a chance to bless him. What did that lead to? My father never knew what it meant to be blessed by his father, which means he never knew how to bless me as the firstborn son. Now, he always spoke words of life over me, but it wasn't to the extent. It took other people, other male figures in my life, to speak words of life in my destiny. So what did that do to me? I spent most of my life struggling with feeling like a failure and struggling with always failing, whether it was in a marriage or in friendships or at school, or those things weighed heavier than they should have been on me because I didn't have the blessing to counteract that. Thank God I do now. And guys are always searching for the thing that'll make them feel what they didn't get from their dad. Even though us guys don't like to talk about feelings, but that blessing carries an emotion to it of feeling like a man. Feeling like a man. May not be perfect, but at least I feel like a man. And we guys will look for anything and everything if we don't, in the absence of that, to make us feel that way. Whether it could be relationships, bad relationships, addiction stuff, activities we do, whatever it might be, we're constantly searching because we're missing that affirmation that comes with that blessing from the Father. Now for the woman, what's her greatest need? Is security. Her greatest need is security. What's her greatest fear? And these come from Jimmy Evans, who's a world-renowned marriage pastor and marriage counselor. Fear of abandonment. Her greatest fear is fear of abandonment. Insecurity. Same thing we tell husbands in marriage counseling. You want to help your wife? Let her feel secure in your relationship. But same thing, as a father speaking over their daughter, as your priest of your home, a fatherly figure, as a spiritual father, as you speak to the girl in your home, to your daughter in your home, or wherever, whoever you're mentoring or blessing. What you're doing is you're affirming her security and her identity and who she is as a child of the living God, and that though her earthly father or father figure may not be physically around all the time, her Heavenly Father has got her back all the time. He's never left her alone. And though her earthly father has probably made lots of mistakes, her good, good father is perfect in all of his ways and only wants the best and knows how to get her the best, knows how to lead her in that path. John Eldridge, from his book, You Have What It Takes, says a couple of things here. Two quotes. How you handle their hearts, speaking to the children, will shape them for the rest of their lives. Never forget that no one is as powerful as you are in the lives of your sons and your daughters. That words from our father or father figure will weigh more than anything else. He also says, and this is what I spoke about earlier, until a man knows he's a man, he will forever be trying to prove he is one, while at the same time he will shrink from anything that might reveal he is not, anything that comes against his manhood or his concept of manhood, where it makes him feel less than a man. He'll be a coward against. He will shrink. He will not know how to handle. He'll back away from. Because, and we're not talking about, you know, the whole brute kind of thing. We're talking about the blessing. We're talking about the internal encouraging of knowing who you are as a child of God that the Father imparts. And this is what's really important. Now, the blessing itself, when we bless, there's three parts to it. There's words of encouragement, which are words of approval and affirmation. When you speak those words of blessing and life over someone, you're affirming who they are. You're letting them know, number one, they're approved by God. They're already approved. They don't have to win God's approval. God just wants to be able to be in a position to love them as they allow him to love them. But they've been approved by God. They just need to come home and be with their father, like Scott mentioned, the prodigal son coming home. Father never stopped loving or approving of his son. He might have disapproved of his action, but he never stopped approving of him as a son. He never disowned him as his son. Son never stopped being the son to the father. Already been approved. It's those words of approval and affirmation of you, who you are, how God sees you as a son and a daughter. The second element of the blessing is the inheritance or the details of it all. It's dominion. It's what God has given you. And this is very important why we're spending time with the Lord. Remember those who were here 2 weeks ago, and Michael and Selena Lombardo prayed over the kids. They spoke prophetic words of dominion and to their destiny over the children. This is what God has for you. See, in the Old Testament, a father would sit there, Jacob would sit there with his sons or grandsons and say, you know, I bless you as my son, as the son of God, all those things. Then he'll say, the Lord gives you this territory. You're blessed with these properties, these things. Now, this dominion may not be physical inheritance, although it might be, but it's dominion and power of authority over things in our lives as well that speaks to your destiny, that you, if you do things right with the Lord, if you stay true to your relationship with God, this is what God has for you. And no one can take that away from you. No one can rob you of that. If this is what God has already ordained and declared for you. See, Jeremiah talks about how even while he was in his mother's womb, God knew what he was going to do. He had called him to be a prophet. He had all these things set up for him. Well, God has all these things set up for us now. Even before we breathed our first breath, he had these things set up for us. We just got to claim them and realize they're ours. So part of the blessing is this dominion to bless them with those things. That you are beautiful. I have dominion over your beauty, your inner beauty. That no one can take that away from you. That you are a child of God. Have dominion over that knowledge, in that no matter what the enemy or people can say to you, you're still his son or his daughter. You're still called to this purpose. You're still a priest. You're still part of his chosen generation. And not just a priest, you're a royal priesthood, is what the Word of God says. You're part of his holy nation. Those things have dominion over. Claim them, because no one can rob you of them, because God spoke them over you. And now we're just speaking them back. And then the third part of the actual blessing is the prophetic word concerning the fruitfulness of the future. That as you step into it, you step into his purpose, and his purpose is fruitful. He's got it for you. That there is reward for faithfulness. That there will be fruit that will be bare. See, the Father, as I said, needs to be spending time with the Lord to know how to pray these things over their sons and their daughter. See, Genesis 27, 28, 29 says this. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let the people serve you. You see how these parts of the blessing come into play. And nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. That's a blessing. A father speaking over his son of these things, about the encouragement, the inheritance, the prophetic words of fruitfulness. See, Isaac's blessing on Jacob that was originally meant for Esau gave him earth's bounty and authority over his own brother. See, Esau was supposed to have authority over Jacob as a younger brother. But since the blessing was given to Jacob, now Jacob, the younger brother, has now authority over the older brother and his family and his descendants as a family. It also promised that those who blessed Jacob would also be blessed. And those who cursed him would receive a curse. And the words that echo God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12:3. So in Genesis 12:3, God said the same thing. You stay faithful to me, these things happen. As you move in these things, those that are a blessing to you will be blessed. Those who are cursed to you will be cursed. And remember, sometimes a curse is as simple as the absence of a blessing. Not necessarily this supernatural physical thing that, you know, TV makes curses out to be sometimes. But just the absence of that blessing. And when Esau discovered that Jacob deceived his father and received the blessing that was meant for him, he was so distraught that in Scripture he asked his father, Dad, have you reserved a blessing for me? Have you reserved anything for me? And Isaac's words, the father's words to his son, reinforced Isaac's words to Jacob and Jacob's superiority, but also prophesied that Esau would rebel. Let's look at this. Again, Genesis 27. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, which is Esau, Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven above, but by your sword you shall live. In other words, it's going to be hard. You're going to be fighting. You're going to be working a lot harder than your brother. And you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck. In other words, you will rebel. That at some point your descendants are going to get tired of serving your brother's descendants, and they're going to rebel. And the Bible says the spirit of rebellion is like witchcraft. So think about what's happening here. This is a blessing, but it's not the blessing that Esau wanted. Now think about how we bless our kids. He spoke words that eventually came true. we bless those in our homes with these words of life, it encouraged them. Genesis 49 says, the blessings of Jacob to each of his 12 sons, it talks about them, and even made predictions for their future. We read that. And the last thing I want to close with is, who's our perfect example? It's God. It's God. Let's look at Matthew 3, 16 through 17. Then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God the Father blessed Jesus the Son. When did he bless him? He blessed him before he even stepped into his ministry. Remember that. He blessed him before he fully stepped into his destiny. He also blessed him knowing that he's going to be in the wilderness for 40 days. And he's going to be tormented by Satan himself, tempted. That blessing strengthened him and gave him the covering he needed. It's an example of what we've been talking about, to do what he needed to do to overcome. And then he stepped into his ministry. See, the Heavenly Father spoke words of approval over the Son. Jesus was blessed with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, equipping him for what he had to do, the miracle and ministry, and even the sacrificial death that lay ahead. So everything about his ministry began with this blessing. I am well pleased. Well, what did Jesus say in the garden? Not my will, but yours be done. And then when he's on the cross, he said, it is finished. In other words, I did what you sent me here to do. I stepped into my full destiny. So this blessing from God the Father, an example to us of what the power of blessing, even to Jesus. All authority, listen, in Matthew 28, 18, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, who gave Jesus that authority? It's his Father. He gave it to him in that blessing. This is my Son who's been endowed with everything that I have. My Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon him that gave him the authority. Just like Jesus imparted that same Spirit upon us, giving us that same authority to do the same. The blessing launched Jesus into his destiny, into his purpose, into his ministry. I pray today that you, as head of your home, even you as female head of your home, have had their heart churned and turned to understanding what the power of your words are and what it means to speak blessing over your kids. And especially us as dads, we need to do that. And it's not too late. I don't care if your son is in their 20s, 30s, or 40s. You can still bless them. I don't care if your daughter is in her 50s. You can still bless them. Or your daughter is, or your son is 1 year old. You can still begin speaking words of life over them, words of blessing over them. Today, Holy Spirit kind of spoke to me about something specifically to do. In closing, in a moment, I'm going to have you stand, and I want to bless you. I want to speak as your spiritual father, so to speak, of this house. I want to bless you, sons and daughters of God. But then after we're done, I'm going to ask you to do what we normally do, break up in small groups. But I want those small groups to specifically focus on, take a few moments, do not rush into your prayers. I want us to practice hearing from God for a second. And even if it's the slightest impression and you're not sure, it's okay. Go with it. Take a step of faith. Practice just listening. And sometimes God's word speaks to us like this, like just a fleeting thought. Go with it. I want you to just spend a few minutes or a few seconds hearing from God on how, what to speak over those in your group, blessing those in your group. Speak words of blessing, whether it's you as a father or a mother within your family or your church family, your church brothers and sisters. Speak over them words of life. And just because you're a teenager does not mean you can't bless somebody older. Or a child does not mean you can't speak blessing. Because there's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no junior God in people. You can speak blessing over one another. So would you stand with me right now, please? Father, I just bless your sons and daughters right now. I just bless them with the knowledge of who they are in you and who you are to them. I bless them with the knowledge that they are redeemed. They are righteous because they've been clothed by your righteousness. I bless them that they are princesses and prince of the heavenly realm with Christ Jesus, that they are fearfully and wonderfully created in the image of the living God. I bless them with the knowledge that they are more than conquerors of everything that the enemy can throw at them in this world. I bless them with the spirit of truth that will crush every lie from the enemy and will guide their steps to press into their future. And the lies and deception of that have been spoken over them will carry no weight as they move forward, for they carry the presence of you within them, Lord. I bless them, Father, with your spirit and with the knowledge that they can do all things through Christ who gives them strength. I bless them that with the wisdom and knowledge and vision that they are meant to take the ground they stand on, that they are ambassadors for the living God, and whether it's in their home, their workplace, their church, or their neighborhood, that ground is theirs to take, that it may be fruitful, that they have dominion over it, that no principality, no spirit of darkness, no demon will have dominion in that place, for they are claimed it in your name. And as Joshua said, as for me and my house, me and my land, my area of dominion, we will worship the Lord. So I bless them with that inheritance that is theirs to claim in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just gather together right now in just groups of threes and fours? Nobody's alone. And I want, please, just spend a few seconds with listening to the Lord. And as He gives you, bless one another. Bless them. Speak words of blessing, no matter how short or long it is. Speak words of blessing. Nobody alone. Can somebody include Roberta here? Can you guys? Lord. Take a few moments, receive from what God is speaking, and then speak through it, and then you are dismissed to go and enjoy your